We're going to continue on with our Wednesday night study right now. And the title of it is just Vision, and that's just Every Day in Christ. That is our desire, to every single day walk in Christ. Every single day have that vision that God gives us, how we are to walk with Him, how we are to walk in Him, how the power of God is to flow through us, how the Holy Spirit fills us, empowers us, and guides us. It's just every single day walking in the power of Jesus Christ. That's what this series is all about. It's just getting in His Word. It's just seeing how we can be more and more like Him. Some of the passages, even I know in Philippians, is very familiar probably to every single one of you because you're students of God's Word. But as we just continue to dive into His holy, anointed word, we just want it to continue to equip us, stir us, move us to action, right? I just don't want to sit in church. I want to be moved to action, amen? I want to be moved to living in Jesus Christ every single day. Well, tonight, we're just going to continue to talk about what it is and how that vision looks for us to daily walk in Jesus Christ. Last week, I went to Philippians. I'm going to stay there. I'm going to go into chapter 2 tonight. We know that Paul is in chains as he writes this book. It is encouraging. It is powerful. It's full of joy. It's full of attitude. It's full of just lifting up the name of Jesus and what Jesus Christ is doing in us, no matter the circumstances in which we face. In the position in which he was in, he just continued to minister. He continued to be active. He continued to be engaged. And in doing so, he just continues to speak life into the believers. And that's what's going to happen here tonight as we continue on. Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to break it up tonight. We're going to look at the first 18 verses, and then we'll look at the second half of this if time allows. So let's start with verse number 1, Philippians chapter 2. It says, "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind." Man, may we walk in such unity, amen. That's just a verse of the believers walking in unity, walking in the power and the love of Jesus Christ, having that mindset and that attitude in which he has demonstrated towards us. Verse number 3, "Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves." Let's read that again. "But in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest." It doesn't say do not have any interest, but not just to look to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death upon a cross." Of course, the songs were perfect tonight as it just kind of led us up to this moment. Verse 9. "Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth," and catch this, "and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." So every angelic being, every human form, every demonic being must bow to the name of Jesus Christ because he is the ultimate authority over all things. Verse 12, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with your fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain." In other words, it doesn't mean that you can't question anything in life, but when it comes to the moving of the Holy Spirit, when it comes to the Holy Word, when it comes to the instruction of God's Word, when it comes to His preaching and His teaching and how God would move upon our lives and how God has put the church together and how the church should operate from the leadership down to every single person that is involved, don't grumble, don't complain against one another. In other words, don't look just like the world. The church shouldn't look like the office. The church shouldn't look like any other place. The church should be united. It shouldn't look like Congress. It shouldn't look like the political world. It should be united in a way that it moves freely with the power of the Holy Spirit guiding it the entire way. That's Paul speaking here into this church. He says, even if I'm to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and I rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. Now, let's just look at this for a minute. And that is what we see the theme here, and that is humility. The humility of the Apostle Paul and the humility in which he demonstrates as he talks about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We know that the character trait of humility is highly significant to each and every one of us. It's highly significant to our Christian walk. Now, when we go and we look up the word humility, this is what the definition is going to be given. Humility is a lowly or modest perspective of one's importance. It is seeing the contrast between what is perfect and our inability to achieve it. In the spiritual sense, when we read of it here in Scripture, it is recognizing who you are, who God is, and knowing your need for Him in your life. It's knowing His place, your place, and that you absolutely need God in your life. Now, humility may seem to be a lowly characteristic, but we know that in reality, it is one of the most powerful and esteemed traits of character when it comes to tearing down any walls of strife or envy or bitterness and division, while at the same time, it is very much building positive relationships among us. We know that when we study humility in Scripture, we will see that it opens up the way for us to be able to communicate with one another. It opens us the way to be able to communicate with God. It opens the way for our love to be demonstrated and God's love to be demonstrated towards us and to be received. Humility opens the way for forgiveness. Forgiveness to be given and also received. Humility opens the way for restoration to be in motion in our lives, for peace and joy to be established in our lives, for our mindset to be confident and positive, and for us to see the goodness of God every single day. Humility is very powerful in the life of every single believer. Now, when encouraging and instructing us in this topic, the Apostle Paul goes straight to the lead example by outlining the humility of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He tells us in verse 6 that Jesus gave up His divine form and His equality with God. He tells us in verse number 7 that He gave up His divine rights, that He became humanity, He became flesh and blood, that He became a servant. And then as we move to verse number 8, it tells us that Jesus was obedient to dying a horrific death for every single one of us. You and I know that because of Christ's humility, we are able to be in His house tonight and have a peace inside knowing that we are saved and that He is our Lord and Savior. Because of His humility, we can worship Him. We can stand in awe. We can stand here with this peace and this joy knowing that He receives the worship in which we are given to Him because that's the relationship we have with God our Father. Christ humbled Himself, and in doing so, God has exalted Him. Right? What a perfect example for you and I. If we are truly to follow in the steps of Christ, then we truly are to be people of humility. We cannot be students of the Word. We cannot call ourselves followers of Christ. We can't bear the name Christianity and not walk in humility. It does not matter what our heritage is. It doesn't matter the attitudes and characteristics of our great-grandparents and our grandparents or whatever type of life we've been dealt. Whether it was a hard life or maybe it was a little bit of an easier life or whatever you want to say how you were wired, because a lot of people will use the excuse, I am the way that I am because that's just how I am wired. A lot of times that is an excuse to act out in a way that is not presented by God's Word. You know why I know that? Because I'm sure I've used that excuse. right? So I'm not just going to point my finger at you because I know, because we have, well, that's just how I am. Well, I'm blunt. Well, I'm straightforward. Well, that's okay to be as long as you're doing it in a godly way. But there are many times we present ourselves in such a manner and it's not humility at all. It's our flesh kind of taking lead. Humility is so important. In a day and hour in which we live, I don't believe, and I know this is personal opinion, probably sounds a little bit judgmental, don't mean to be, it's just personal opinion. I believe we live in an hour where there's not a lot of humility being demonstrated to one another. Because everybody wants to be right. And not just right about a situation and how you believe and how someone else believes. I'm not just talking politics or faith. But, you know, because obviously we don't see a whole lot of humility there. But I'm just talking about there's not a lot of humility in how we want to justify our own way of living. We want to justify things that we do that we know that are not in Scripture. We'll label them as gray areas, or we'll label them as areas like, well, God, you know, God's grace is upon me, and I can really do whatever it is I want as long as it's not bothering me, as long as I don't think I'm sinning. And really, they're just trying to justify themselves. That's not walking in humility. That's walking in the pride of the flesh. When you walk in such a manner, it's going to come back to bite you. It's always going to come back to get you. Humility is an important trait for every single one of us. Humility, I believe, is a lot of times demonstrated on how we speak to each other and how we communicate, how we connect with one another, how we talk about the issues of life, how we talk about the issues maybe within the workplace, how we talk about issues amongst our families. Can I tell you, that is something that I pray that I continue, that I can grow in, because I want to walk the way that Christ walked. I don't want to be an individual that thinks they're right about everything. God knows I know that I'm not right about everything, right? And it's hard for us. I mean, let's admit it. We do not like to be around anyone who thinks they're right about everything. You know what I'm talking about? We've all got those people in our lives. You don't need Google. You just ask them, because they got an answer for everything, right? But sometimes, you know, we say that, but we can be that individual. We can be that person. We can stand in such a way that we present ourselves that way sometimes. And we come across very abrasive, or we come across, you know, with this kind of attitude, and we come across, and then we want to blame it for something, you know, that's really just an excuse to act out of what God would have us be. Humility. Humility is a powerful trait of the believer's life. It should be. It is a powerful trait of a God-fearing church, of a church that's moving forward, of a church that's worshiping the Lord, as a church that's growing and being discipled and making an impact and being effective. Humility is important. Christ humbled himself, and in doing so, he showed us how we should do the same. Now, as you read this scripture, you will see over and over a constant truth, and that is God honors humility. He honors people who choose to walk in a humble manner. Now, let's throw this out there, because I've heard this many times, and I think it's very much a good thing to say. I think it's a good positive truth. If you have to tell people you're humble, you're probably not there yet, right? Humility is just walking in it. It's walking in it, and it's not saying, I'm a humble person, you know. It's not going out to the Christian bookstore and buying a t-shirt that says, I'm walking in humility, praise Jesus. You know, it's not you declaring it, you know. I mean, you declare it in your personal life, in your private life. It's not something that you just walk in it, just as Christ walked in it himself. We know that we see this, that God honors this. There are several scriptures. I'm going to give you a few of those. Let's look at these. Proverbs 15:33. Fear of the Lord teaches wisdom, and humility precedes honor. Proverbs 18:12, haughtiness goes before destruction. Humility precedes honor. Proverbs 22:4, true humility and fear of the Lord lead to riches, honor, and long life. Psalm 18:27, you rescue the humble, but you humiliate the proud. Psalm 25:9, he leads the humble in doing right, teaching them his way. Psalm 147:6, the Lord supports the humble, but he brings the wicked down into the dust. Psalm 149:4, for the Lord delights in his people, he crowns the humble with victory. Isaiah 66 and 2, my hands have made both heaven and earth. They and everything in them are mine. I, the Lord, I have spoken, and I will bless those who have humble and contrite hearts and tremble at my word. James 4:10, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. 1 Peter 5 and 6, so humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. God honors humility. And in Chronicles, when it gives us the equation for revival, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves before we ever pray, we humble ourselves before the Lord. Before we ever call upon his name, we come before him and we humble ourselves. We put ourselves in a position and saying, okay, God, I'm getting ready to pray. I'm getting ready to pour out my life to you. I'm getting ready just to cry out and to seek you and to ask for your renewal and ask for your revival of my life, of my family, of my church, of my community. I'm getting ready to do that. But before I do that, I just come before you. I bow before you, not just in my physical presence, but in my heart, deep within. I bow before you because I fully understand that I need you. I need your wisdom. I need your guidance. I need your truth. I need your conviction. I need your compassion. I need your love. I need your challenge. I need everything that you have for me. God, I need it. If I'm going to succeed in any area of my life, I fully come before you and I say, God, I need you. I need you to be the best pastor that I can be. I need you to be the best godly husband that I can be. I need you to be the dad and the Papa Steve that I need to be. I need you in every area of my life. I seek you. I come before you because, God, I recognize that without you, I've lost everything. Without you, I'm just spinning my wheels. If I'm just wearing Christianity as a ticket to go to heaven and I'm not walking in it, I'm missing out. God, I need my faith to be more than just a ticket to heaven. I need it to be a relationship. I need it to be something that moves me, that stirs me, that challenges me, that empowers me, that equips me. And God, I cannot have any of that without you. I need you. Humility leads to a life of honor and victory and abundance of peace and blessings. His scripture tells us that over and over. While the opposite of that, a prideful heart, it is just the opposite. It can be devastating to our lives. It can lead us to act out in disobedience and rebellion and deceit and corruption and then just have a lack of peace all about us. Then we become unhappy and then we become depressed and then we have these destructive decisions and behavior and it seems like all just begins to fall apart. How important is humility in the life of a believer? It's incredibly important. So God, I pray that daily you will give me the vision of what it looks like for me to walk in humility. I don't think there's anything wrong with going back, especially tonight since we're talking about it, to just be able to come to an altar, wherever that altar may be, and say, God, help me rehearse back my last few days and help me to see when I'm walking in humility and when I'm not. Because I promise you, I think we will all find those moments when we are not walking where God wants us to be. And I'm not trying to be a downer on that. I'm just trying to say, let's look at the areas in which God can improve and help us in. Because a lot of times when we're talking about this subject, when we really need to change, well, we're kind of at a place where we're prideful about it and we don't want to go there. Because most people, oh, I'm not a prideful person. I'm not one of those people that know it all. I'm not one of those people that come off abrasive. I'm not one of those people who just kind of rub people the wrong way, you know. But probably in all of us, we've been there multiple times over. So again, I think it's important for us to have God to evaluate this area of our lives. Now, a couple of things to take note of when following Paul's teaching of humility, and this is all throughout his letters to the church. Just a couple of things I simplified in this way. One, humility, I believe, is learned and developed. Because scripture talks so much about it. It's not just something that is a natural trait of who we are. I think it's something that we have to put into practice. And I think that's why many of us are weak in this area, because we fail to pray about this area of our lives. Something that we learn, what it looks like, and what it looks like in our speech, what it looks like in our work, what it looks like and how we worship. You know, think about it. Did we come with humble hearts tonight and worship the Lord? Did we come into God's house tonight with a humble heart that says, God, I'm here and you do in me whatever it is you want to do. Use me and however you want to use me. If there's a need in the church and I need to fill it, God, I'm just coming with a humble heart. You guide, you lead, and I will follow. That's humility, right? Humility is not us standing back and picking and choosing what we want to do. Humility is saying, God, I'm here for whatever it is you want for me to do. Amen? Humility is opening up yourself in a way that says, God, whatever it is, whatever you're speaking, whatever you're doing, I'm going to follow that lead. It's something that we learn. It's something we develop. It's a trait that I think the longer you are a Christian, more the stronger you ought to be walking in it, right? Sometimes we do just the opposite on themes such as this. How many of you know sometimes, and I think I can say this, I'm not, 80 years old, but I'm getting closer and closer to 50. Michelle is closer there than I am, and I just... a few months. But I can promise you, because I've seen it in my own life, as we get a little bit older, we tend to get a little bit, more stubborn, right? We use that, I'm going to set in my ways. Now, I understand some of that. There are certain things about me that I probably won't change. I'm always going to want lines in my yard when you're mowing, right? I don't want weeds in my yard. That's just who I am, all right? I like to vacuum the floor each day, vacuum the carpet every morning. One of my things, just vacuum the carpet. Why? Because I like a clean carpet. I like to make the bed. You say, Steve, you are anal. No, I'm not. I just like those things, all right? All right? You're like, Michelle, wow, you are blessed. She is. She knows. All right. No. That's an example of being prideful right there, all right? I'm getting ready to fall because that's what Scripture says. I'm probably going to trip over the pulpit here in a minute. So, certain things about me that are just always going to be me. But when it comes to the spiritual matters, when it comes to growing in the Lord, when it comes to serving, when it comes to listening, when it comes to growing, when it comes to giving, when it comes to changing with the culture. Why does the church struggle so much today? Because so many people don't want to shift. Not with beliefs, but just the way that we minister. Because how many of you know we're not having church the same way that Jesus and the disciples did? Right? I've heard people say, I think I talked to this about to the staff the other day, I've heard people say, I could just have church in a brush arbor. No, you couldn't. You'd get cold and you'd leave and go home. Because you're used to heat and air now, right? Oh, I could sit on a wooden bench for 3 hours. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. Okay. Things change and things shift, but yet we struggle so much with things because we say, oh, I'm just set in my ways. That's who I am. Bless God, that's who I am. Well, can I tell you, when it comes to spiritual matters, we better open up our heart and say, God, whether I'm just getting started or like Paul, whether I'm getting close to the end of my race, whether I'm in chains or whether I'm walking in freedom, no matter where I'm at, if I'm walking in the light or if I'm walking in darkness, if I'm in the valley or if I'm in the mountaintop, if I've, no matter what I've accomplished or what's been a part of my life, I humble myself before you because I need you every day of my life. And the older I get, I find the more that I need him. The more that I need him. I don't think I feel like, oh, I've grown so much, I can't grow anymore. I just know that I need him. The more I see of life's challenges, the more I need him. The more I watch the news, the more I need him. The more I see where we're at today, the more I need him, right? The more I see the state of the church, the more I cry out to him. And I say, God, we need you. I don't necessarily need another book. I don't necessarily need another conference. I don't necessarily need another speaker. And I thank God for all of those incredible resources. And I will continue to use those resources. But what I need more than anything is I need God for you to move in my life. I need you to move in my family. I need you to move in my church. I need you to move in the people's lives just like you moved in Scripture, just like you moved in the villages from town to town, just like you moved in the sinners, just like you moved in every single person that called out to you, just like you moved on the day of Pentecost. God, we need you. We need you. But to continue to walk in such a way. So all of that, it's learned, it's developed. The second thing was walking in humility. I believe it is a choice. It's a choice. You either want to or you do not. And at the end of the day, you're going to do what you want to do. And I pray that you'll choose to say, God, give me the vision of what it is to walk in humility. So I'd say to you, whether you have much in life or you have some or you have very little, whatever measurement you want to use to determine that, choosing to walk in humility is an invitation for Christ to work in a powerful manner in your life. But not just an invitation for him to walk in your life, it's also an invitation for others to see Jesus in you. Because when you walk in the humility of Jesus, people notice. People notice. Let's move on here. I want to finish this chapter, and I want to finish with the second theme we kind of see here unfolding as he writes. Let's go to verse number 19 and finish this out to verse 30. Paul writes, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. They all seek their own interest, but not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me, and I trust in the Lord that I myself will come also. So Paul writes with this belief that he's going to get to church, but notice he sends Timothy, the pastor of the churches. He sends Timothy, the one that he has mentored and that he has poured into, and he writes to him, I need to send Timothy because there's so many in the church that's only in it for themselves. Did you catch that? They're only in it for themselves. They come when they want to come. They serve the way they want to serve. They give the way they want to give. They receive when they want to receive. They do everything out of their own interests. They're dictated by the weather. If the weather's good, they may be there. If it's too good, they're not because they're going to stay home. Watch what happens when we get the first good spring weather happen. Watch what people tend to do. Watch what happens when it's really cold outside. Watch what happens. We just do what we want to do. And can I tell you, Paul is saying to the church, there are so many serving out of their own interests. Yes, he is really leaning towards those that are preaching and leading because they want to be seen and they want to gain from that and they want to gain financial wealth. He's talking about all these things. What I see in that is that there is, if they dealt with this, don't you think we deal with it today, that people have their own interest in mind instead of having God's interest? Why do so many churches sit stagnant? Why do they sit still? Why do they not move? Why is it not powerful every time they gather? Because they're having to fight through those own self-interest. You're saying, Pastor, again, man, this is Wednesday. I know, I'm thinking with you. Bring this on Sunday, okay? But we need it because he's speaking it to us. And it helps us as we teach one another in our conversations. We ought to be talking. Are we serving ourselves or are we serving the Lord? I'm not saying to neglect your family. I'm not saying to neglect a good, pretty day. I'm certainly not saying neglect the things that God gives us and the blessing that God gives us. I like to be outside just as much as anybody else. I love when we have a big snowstorm and want to build a snowman and all that just as much as anybody else. I'm saying all these little illustrations that I've used tonight. There's nothing bad in any of that, but what I see in Scripture is there's so many times we serve ourselves other than do what God would have us do. And when we're walking in a way that God would have us walk, man, it changes everything in such a powerful way. That's when we see the Holy Spirit move in mighty, miraculous ways. Okay, verse 25. That was a little side note. Verse 25. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill near to death, but God had mercy on him. And not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honor such men. For he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. There's so much in this passage. You know, I won't really preach on it, but you know, sometimes if a Christian ever, you should never have anxiety. The Scripture never says we shouldn't have anxiety. It just tells us that God can give us a mind of peace that'll overcome that anxiety, because anxiety is real. And if you don't believe that, the Apostle Paul just spoke of his own. He just spoke of his own. And so that's why he teaches us so much, that we have to continue to put our faith and our trust in the Lord and find our peace in him, because we have to face these real emotions of life. Okay, as we look on here, what we see here is we went from humility and now we see honor. Honor is having and giving high respect in regard to one another. And we can see over and over in Scripture that it is the successor of humility. Honor is not something that is random, but it is carefully considered. What I see here is that Paul teaches us a valuable lesson of giving honor, while Epaphroditus gives us an excellent example of living an honorable life. Now, most of you know this. I've spoken of him before. He was not a famous leader. There is no mention of his name other than what we see right here in Philippians. There are no books about him or by him. He was just a fellow believer living an obedient life for God. And here in Philippians, Paul recognizes his worth, and he encourages the church to honor him and everyone to live in such a manner. Now, notice what Paul says about this man, Epaphroditus. He says, he's my brother. He's a fellow believer in Christ, and he loves God's people. He's a worker. He gives tireless effort, even in the midst of his sickness. He's a soldier willing to sacrifice his life for the cause of Christ. He is a messenger, a servant of God who ministered to the needs of others. Epaphroditus was honored by Paul because Epaphroditus was a man who just honored God by living a humble life of serving and pleasing his Lord and pleasing his Savior. There's nothing in Scripture that tells us that Epaphroditus wanted to stand up on a pedestal and have Paul recognize him. Matter of fact, we get just the opposite. He was just a believer in Christ. He was just a man of God. He was just daily walking with a God. And as he was doing that, he was serving the Lord. And because he was living in such a manner, what happens? Paul honors him. You see, he humbled himself, and Paul honors him, and God honors him. And I think that's a great example for you and I. Again, here's what we know. God honors humility, and the way that he does that is he honors your life. He honors your walk. He honors your prayers. He honors your worship. He honors your obedience. He honors your sacrifice. He honors your willingness. He honors your service. He honors your encouragement. He honors you when you receive correction. He honors you when you just give of yourself to him. He honors that. When you just strive daily to walk with him, to be the dad or the mom you need to be, he will honor that. When you just come to church and you say, God, I just want to serve you. I just want to be a part of something that's bigger than me. I want to be a part of the family of Christ. I want to be a part of the body of Christ. When you come with such a demeanor, such a heart, God will honor that every single time. There's a lot to be said about humility and honor. We know that Scripture tells us over and over that we are to honor God for who he is. We are to honor Jesus Christ because of who he is in our lives. We are to honor God and Jesus for what they have done in our lives. For we know over and over and over the Lord shows himself faithful to us, right? And we honor him for that. We never take that for granted. May we never, ever take for granted what God continues to do in our lives. In our journey. I know that many of you here tonight, just in this small crowd, I know many of your lives, many of your stories, and I know many of you are going through different things right now. And can I tell you this? Never take for granted how God continues to lead you through, because he is faithful, and he will always be. Scripture will tell us when it comes to honor that we are to honor one another. Romans 12:10 tells us, love one another with this brotherly affection, with this Christian love, with this brotherhood, with this sisterhood that says that we are the body of Christ. I love what it says in Romans 12:10. It says, outdo one another in showing honor to each other. In other words, look forward to building each other up. Look forward to encouraging each other. Look forward to stirring each other on. Look forward to praying for one another. Look forward to serving one another. Look forward to doing what you can to help someone else out. Look forward to doing those things. Look forward and just to build. Man, that's an awesome word that everyone needs to hear today, because it seems like in our culture, we look forward to finding the fault in each other, that we want to tear each other down, that we want to find reason to disagree, I don't know what it would be, and I'm not even going to attempt to do so, but what would social media be? What would the percentage be of the posts that are building up versus the posts that are tearing down? I don't know what it would be. Maybe I would be surprised. I hope I would be pleasantly surprised. I'm not sure, but it sure seems like in the culture we live, and even it finds its way in the church, that we tend to want to kind of tear things down instead of build things up. And honor is building each other up. Just like Epaphroditus, we honor God and we honor one another by living a life that is pleasing to Him, by honoring Him first, and then by building each other up and honoring one another. Amen? So there's a lot to be said in chapter number 2. When we honor God by living to please Him, He's always going to return that honor back to us. And I know this is where that humility comes in, because I believe with all my heart there's a lot of humility in this room tonight. I really believe that. When we say a phrase that God returns the honor back to us, I know there's a part of us that says, oh God, that no need to honor me in any way. Well, just love me. Well, His love is honoring you. God, don't build me up and put me on a pedestal. Well, that doesn't mean He wants to put you on a pedestal, but it just means that He wants to take care of you, that He wants to demonstrate His love to you, His mercy to you, His grace to you, His power to you. Put it like this when we think about honor. We think highly of God, rightly so, right? And just know God thinks highly of you. Have you ever thought about that? Just as much as you think highly of God, He thinks so much of you. That's why Jesus stepped out of heaven and took the form of a servant and humbled Himself, because He needed us to be in a relationship with Him, and that was the only way that was going to happen. God gives Himself to us daily. So when we worship Him, He doesn't worship us, but He loves us and He highly values us, and He calls us His most prized possession. We are a royal priesthood. We are a chosen generation. We are heirs to the throne room of God. We are heirs to eternity and all of heaven. That's who we are. Those are the titles in which He gives you and I. So as much as you love Him and as much as you want to honor Him, I mean, it's a million times over how much He values and honors you. Think about the scripture. I gave part of it earlier. We go to Peter's writing in 1 Peter chapter 5 when I was talking about how God honors humility. We read verse 6 that says, so humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time He will lift you up in honor. Notice what verse 7 says. The very following verse, give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you. So how does He lift you up? How does He honor you? By caring for you and everything about your life. When you go to prayer tonight, you can be confident He's listening, and He will respond. And in the timing that He sees fit, He will build you up, He will answer, and He will honor you in every way that He desires to do so. So when we think about vision, every day, walking in Christ, God, give us a vision of what it is day to day to walk in humility, to honor You, and for us to receive all that You have for us in our lives. Amen.